David Weaver, welcome to Open Mind, Öppet Sinne.
Öppet Sinne, thank you so much, Paul. Thank you so much.
We did actually do a podcast way back.
Me, you, Yemi, and Greg Poehler, summer of 2012. It was actually voted the number one podcast in Uganda, China, and Norway, summer of 2012.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. And you've stepped up your game, man. We're in a proper studio with proper equipment. We had done that podcast at your little fucking kitchen table down in the basement apartment.
Exactly.
And you were, those were like kind of dark times right then.
Yeah.
You were just kind of segueing out of stand-up comedy, and you were having lady trouble and...
Everything, actually.
Yeah, you were like down.
That year, everything hit me. And the trip to Canada changed everything for the good, actually.
Yeah. And now look at you, man. You're like fucking on top of it. No, it's really cool. I had that opportunity to announce the MMA fight at Superior Challenge 17.
Yeah.
And it was just so cool to see your face over in the corner handling your business. Excuse me, doing the MMA thing, man. That's so cool.
Yeah, you went from a hobby to actually be able to work with it.
Yeah, getting paid for that.
Yeah. Because I did actually tell you the story. When I did, my focus has always been stand-up or acting. Stand-up and acting.
Yeah.
So I was super focused on stand-up. And the MMA things just kind of came my way, but I never searched for it. Right. I never asked anyone for a job. He just, hey, you want to do this? Yeah, sure, man. I'm working on my comedy. Okay, I can do that. I'm free. And things just kept going. And then I had to do my taxes. And that year I made $60,000 on MMA and I made $2,000 on comedy.
So it was a no-brainer.
Like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I didn't even try hard and I'm making money. Maybe I should start trying a little bit more.
Yeah.
So
how long have you been doing it now?
I started working with MMA back in 2009.
Wow,
yeah,
that long. 2000.
Yeah, it's 10 years. Holy fucking shit, hell. It's 10 years, yeah. And I'm going to complete my fourth year on Viaplay with the UFC, and that's the last 4 years that I've actually could be able to work, live off of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The contract's up.
Yeah. No, it's the UFC contract ends for Viaplay.
Okay.
But I think, I'm hoping that
somebody's
going to renew it. I hope they renew it. But it's a 4-year deal with everything that they buy. It's always limited to time. But I hope we get it.
Let's say somebody else picks it up, like another channel or whatever.
It depends on what they do with it. I mean, when the ones that had it before us, they did nothing. They just aired it. And maybe had Swedish commentators on two fights per year.
Yeah, I don't think UFC's going anywhere, man. It's just getting more and more popular.
Yeah. No, I think so, too. I think they'll stay.
What's up with McGregor? Is he...
He's coming back in January,
That's what I saw.
He's fighting Cowboy.
What do you think? What's your thought on that?
His comeback or the fight?
Both.
I think it's... I mean, it's fun that he's back. I mean, he's an asshole right now. He's doing... I don't know. It's when you get too famous, shit happens.
Yeah.
And when you're already kind of a larger-than-life person, I think it gets to you even more.
Yeah.
Which it did with him. But I think it's fun that he's coming back. I hope he clears his shit up.
Yeah.
And I actually think he wins against Cowboy.
Yeah.
It's an interesting fight.
He's good for the sport, too. I mean, he is such a charismatic... freak that he just brings attention wherever he goes. You know, he could be selling fucking underwear for Bjorn Borg or whatever, and it would, their sales would go up. He's a moneymaker.
Yeah, for sure. No, his whiskey's just crazy. He's making crazy money off of his whiskeys. I mean, he doesn't need to fight, but I think he likes the challenge.
I think that's
the thing with him. But how much MMA do you follow?
Not a whole lot. You know, I don't have time for it, but not much at all.
It's the comedy thing for you.
Yeah, man. Comedy thing and being daddy and working in the fucking 9-to-5 grind. But I remember back in the day when UFC first came out and Dave the Tank Abbott. That was my boy. Do you remember that cat?
Tank the Tank.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Fuck, that guy was a ripper. And that was when UFC was just in its virgin. You know, they just started doing this stuff.
Yeah.
And, me and my buddies, we were paying fucking $80 for a pay-per-view just to check it out. Because it was brand new. It was like, what, the Octagon? These guys are going bare-knuckle fucking crazy. And actually, I don't know if you've ever heard of this cat called Shannon the Cannon.
No, it's your friend, right?
He's actually my nephew, yeah.
Because, yeah, you told me something about someone that did MMA.
Shannon the Cannon. He goes all over the world. He's pushing, I think he's in his 40s, mid-40s. And at one point, he was the most losing UFC guy, right? So somebody had put on Facebook, stop Shannon from fighting because he was just getting the shit kicked out of him. It's like, yeah, we need a fall guy. Yeah, call Shannon the Cannon, right? Mm. But now, as of lately, he stepped up his game, and I don't know, he's like lost a lot of weight and bulked up, and he's doing a lot of this bare knuckle fighting.
Oh shit.
Like in Russia and China. He was telling us stories. I saw him a year ago when I went back home, and he was telling us this story about getting in an airplane and they drove him for like nine hours out to the middle of nowhere in Russia. And he's like, are you sure this is where the fight's going to be? Yes. Don't worry about nothing. And it was bare knuckle action, man. Took him to China. And I said, well, Shannon, how long are you going to keep fighting? He said, fuck, as long as they keep paying me, I'm going to keep fighting.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is kind of a sad reality.
It's the thing with many fighters, actually. They should leave, but no, they get paid. Well, and I mean, what are they supposed to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Also, how old
Flip burgers at Burger King? I think he's like 42, 43.
Shit.
Yeah. It's time to hang it up.
Yeah, it is.
But he's like, no, man, you know, these promoters call me and say, you want to do a fight? We'll pay you X amount. Okay. I mean, he's got a dojo, and he teaches young kids and whatnot, self-defense and taekwondo and whatever, and grappling and all that stuff. But I don't know how much money he's making on that.
It depends on the clients.
Yeah.
I mean, how many clients it's kids. He has.
Yeah. So who knows? I guess that, you know, he likes being in the limelight too. That's a big pull for these
guys. That's you and me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Doing comedy. But when did you start comedy?
It's been 10 years. Yeah, I started in 2009 and never got into it thinking I'd make any money. I did it just for, you know, my narcissistic ego. Like, you know, I liked getting up there and being an asshole and making people laugh and having a good time. And now, yeah, it took probably 5-6 years before I started getting a couple little bucks here and there. And then book a stand-up, last couple Yule boards. They pay really good money for me to go do, you know, 25, 30, 40 minutes of stand-up at a Yule board. Making Yule board great again, bro. It's good stuff, man. I really enjoy it. I've got a gig coming up on the 12th. I don't even know who the company is, but I'm looking forward to it, man. It's easy money.
Because I get the feeling now that it's easier, that more comedians get paid now than when I did comedy.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you just read that string we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's still a really weird, but you know, I think we're spoiled here in Stockholm. The stand-up scene, you know, they're throwing you 15, 20 minutes. If you're headlining 30, 40 minutes, and they are paying you, you know, sometimes you get 1,000 kroner, 1,500, 2,000. And that's like 150, 200 US. LA comics, they're lucky if they get $15, $20, if anything. And, you know, unless they're doing a live show. So I don't know. It's just, it seems like we get, I'm not going to complain.
No.
Fuck, I'm not going to complain at all. And I'll do free gigs. It's up to me if I want to do a free gig and if I want to approach the promoter or the club owner and say, hey, man, you know, I know I'm up second to last in the first half, but could you throw me a couple? I don't feel obligated. You know, if I don't want to do the gig, I don't go. And I'm not going to sit around and wait for, you know, somebody to call up and say, hey, man, you want to do a gig for 2,000 kroner? I'm not into it to make the money. And I'm no Al Pitcher. Fee, Fawn. You know, he's cornered the market. God love him. He's a great guy. He's personable and he's fucking funny. And he's, you know, he's made a career out of it.
Yeah.
So more power to him. I love the guy. I think it's great. If he wasn't here, maybe it'd be me, you know?
That's the thing. That's kind of the thing. Because when I went to, I did comedy in Spain just for 2 weeks. And I got the feeling that everybody wanted to take me to do gigs. And I was like, hey, the Swede, man, you got to come with us. You got to come with us. And I was like, shit, I could make actually money here.
Yeah.
And I think also that's the thing, because when you, like you, when you're in Sweden, you view Swedes from a perspective that Swedes will never view themselves.
Right.
And Al Pitcher has capitalized on that.
Yeah, he just
took everything. I mean, when I heard him the first time, he had a different kind of comedy. Now it's just Sweden, fifan, fika, mycket roligt.
Yeah.
And it goes home. Everybody loves it.
Yeah, they eat it up. They eat it up. And the rest of us English-speaking comedians, Ryan Bussell and Yemi and Jonathan and all of us, we are trying to pull away from that, you know, because it's too easy. And, you know, you got the stuff that's gold. Like, you know, I've got some bits that, you know, I keep them in the under my sleeve. And if I have to pull them out, you know, okay, I got them. But we all try to, you know, I want to be able to do a set that I could do anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Whether it's the U.S., it's Spain, Germany, wherever. And I can't do, like, you know, K-Gel in the U.S. They're like, K-Gel, ooh, Shell. Well, you know, doesn't work. So we try to challenge ourselves now not to do Swedish bullshit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it makes you a better comic. It's easy to go to the Swedish stuff.
Yeah.
Because they just eat it up.
Definitely.
They really do. And, you know, other comedians are like, you know, Ryan's always busting my balls because he's like, oh, you had to do the Fita Fika. You had to do the K-Gel. Yeah, man. Because they love it. They absolutely love it. So, you know. Why try to fix what's not broken?
Yeah, I know. But how did it go for what's Polar up with? Because actually, I haven't seen Polar since we did our last podcast.
Well, you know, he did the Welcome to Sweden.
Yeah, because that's the fun thing just for the listeners. When we did Straight Out of Sweden, SOS, in the beginning, it was just you, me, and Greg Polar.
Yeah.
And I think it was episode 2 when he tells us, not when we were recording, it was like, I have a thing. Yeah. I've pitched a show.
Yeah.
Which was Welcome to Sweden.
Yeah. And then remember he sent us the...
Yeah. We watched the pilot and I was like, it's good, it's good. And after that, Greg Polar skyrocketed.
Yeah. He, I think, just wrapped up the third or fourth season in Canada of You, Me, Her, which was a really brilliant show. But I think that's it. The show's over. So who knows what's in store for him next? I mean,
because he's done 2 shows or 3.
Yeah,
is it 2?
Just 2. Yeah. Welcome to Sweden, season 1 and 2. And then I can't remember. It was 3 or 4 seasons of You, Me, Her.
Yeah.
But it got great ratings and it's on Netflix. So, more power to Greg, too. He's kicking ass and he's a cool guy, man.
Living the Hollywood life.
Yeah.
In Sweden.
In Sweden. Yeah, and his little, he's, you know, great daddy, two beautiful boys and a gorgeous little girl. He's a cool cat. I wish him the best. I was hoping he'd throw me a fucking bone and, hey, you want a little small part? But, you know.
In this new Steven Spielberg movie?
Yeah. Have you watched The Irishman? Everybody's raving about
it. No, I haven't. I saw yesterday that people are posting it on Instagram. And I got to watch, but it's like 3.5 hours.
Exactly. And Spielberg, what the fuck? Who's the goddamn director?
Scorsese.
Scorsese. He said some shit the other day, a quote about, you know, Disney and Marvel has ruined the movies. And I'm thinking, dude, you just wrote a 10-hour movie about the fucking labor union. How boring is that? But apparently it's getting good ratings. And I would love to see it on a big screen, you know, in a theater. Yeah, I think that cast, you know, warrants seeing it in a proper theater.
But you could. I think it was up for like 3 days.
Yeah.
So. And Netflix, I read something, they're starting to do that with some movies just so they can win Oscars.
Yeah.
Being a Netflix movie.
Yeah.
But I think 3.5 hours is, that's the weird thing because I can binge watch a series. I can watch 7 episodes, no problem.
Right.
But when I see a movie being 3.5 hours, I'm like, fuck.
Do I really want to sit through this?
So long?
Yeah.
But then when you watch it, it's good. I actually went to see Doctor Sleep.
Yeah.
The second part of The Shining from Stephen King.
Right.
2.5 hours long. I was like, oh, fuck. But I was like, okay, I need to watch this one. And it went on really quick.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like 2.5 hours.
Yes. Yeah, so, well, and that's the whole thing. If it's a good paced movie, then you're not going to feel like, fuck, it's 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Just like Avengers Age of Ultron. I like Googled, when is the best time to go take a pee break? You know, because fuck, I'm not going to sit through that.
But what do you think about the Marvel movies since Scorsese kind of pissed on them?
Yeah, I dig them. I mean, I've been a superhero fan, Marvel mostly, yeah, since I was a little kid. I dig them. I think seeing it come to life, it's a little weird that, you know, back in the 70s, I'm 54, so I was reading these comics in the 70s and seeing how Hollyweird kind of, you know, turns them into modern looking. And like, that's not what his costume looked like. That's not what Thor looked like, but whatever. Yeah, I dig it. I think, I don't know why they shot themselves in the foot and got rid of like Captain America and Tony Stark, you know, that was money making. Yeah, I'm thinking, why would you kill off like your box office smash? I don't know. I'd like to sit in the marketing table, the round table with that thought.
Yeah, but they also, they can do a this happened before.
Yeah, true.
So, I mean, they can still spin it in that way. Because I read something, I forget the actor's name, the one that is Chris, Captain America guy. Yeah. He said that, yeah, it's nothing that I'm looking forward to, but maybe. Like, he didn't close the door, but I think it's good that they kind of also move on. Because, the first Iron Man was like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Crazy,
yeah,
it's crazy, but they're good. I like them. Rewatched everything before I went to see the last one, and fucking I enjoy them.
Yeah, you could pull off a good Robbie Downey Jr.,
yeah,
Tony Stark,
yeah, Iron Man, the younger guy
who's actually in shape, you know.
Yeah.
Fucking no CG on Paulie.
Nope,
dude, you're a freak, man. And I was posting this stuff with you, like jumping in the ice cold water and doing fucking Rubik's cubes under the ice water. I'm like, what is this guy up to? Doing the monkey bar shit. I'm like, look at him. He's a fucking monkey vato up there.
Yeah, I know. It's challenges. I don't know why, but I realized, you know, did you see the picture when I do handstands on a Pilates ball?
Yeah.
That was kind of the first thing that opened up this kind of
weirdness.
Yeah, and it made me realize that if I can do that, I can do more.
Yeah.
And then I just wanted to do new things. Always prove to myself that I can do more. It was the same thing when I was talking about comedy. In the beginning, I think I've done comedy for maybe not even a year. I was talking to, I think it was Johan Rander, and I said, my goal is to do one new show per year. And I was like, oh, you can't do one show per year. I was like, yeah, but Bitnir can do one.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, but that's Bitnir. It's like, so what? If Bitnir can do it, so
anybody
can you,
can.
So can I.
Yeah.
And it's this fun, fuck, man. I need to show him that I can. And 3 years after, I did my first show and I sold out.
Yeah.
And I think every time that I've done something like that, it proves to me that I have the capability to do so much more than I think.
Yeah.
So the ice water was the same thing. I had to prove to myself,
can I do this?
And when I could, I was like, yeah, so what else can I do?
Yeah,
the same with the monkey bars. Like, can I do this? Fucking I can.
Yeah, so see, and that's a good attitude. I wish more people in the world could realize that there is more good in you.
Yeah,
and there is more that you can give back to the world. I mean, this life is just a fucking blink.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's too many douchebags in this world.
For sure.
To think that, you know, oh, I can't do this, I can't do it. But just do it, man.
The fun thing with the comedy thing, after I did mine, what happened? Everybody's doing fucking comedy shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody. It was like Bitnir and Shaanazi. They were the ones that did shows. After I did mine, boom, everybody started doing.
Now, what's the deal with Sean? I mean, he comes to town occasionally and does, like, he'll do a set at Mafia, but it doesn't seem like he does his shows in Stockholm. Like, he does them outside of Stockholm.
Yeah, I think he did book for Backa Framåt now. I think I read something on Facebook that he is doing a show, but I think it's with most things. I think if you leave town, you sell more tickets. I think that's the thing, because I remember when I worked in Globen, doing the Zamboni driving, we actually had a meeting there and this marketing guy, and he said, in Stockholm, you compete, Globen is competing even with bowling. Bowling, the movies, a restaurant, McDonald's, right. You have so many options.
Right.
But if you leave, if you go up to, let's say, Gävle or Umeå, you don't compete with 20 other things.
Yeah, they don't have shit to do out there. Like, what? Stand-up comedy?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's check it out.
That's why even the hockey arenas in other cities, they sell out.
Yeah.
Jugon doesn't. They don't. Yeah. It's if they're in the finals.
And I'm doing the Stockholm wrestling.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're lucky if we get 250, 300 people. But if you go to Gothenburg wrestling, they're selling out every show.
Really?
Every month. Yeah. I don't know if that part of Gothenburg doesn't have shit to do or they just got a bigger fan base. But to me, I would think Stockholm wrestling should have, you know, 500, 600, 700 people, 1,000 people. One time we did a show and he didn't charge. So 1,200 people showed up. Mm. So I said, you know, maybe you need to lower your prices and that'll get asses in the seats. But yeah, I just don't get it. Stockholm wrestling should be just exploding because it is a great show. And it's, you know, reminiscent of WWE. And, you know, the fans are some pretty freaky people. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty eclectic group. It's a good time, man.
How did you get into Stockholm wrestling?
The guy that runs it saw me at a stand-up comedy show. Messiah Hellberg is the president of Stockholm wrestling, and he kind of stepped away from it. And I don't know, the guy came up to me afterwards, Chris, and said, I like your voice. I like your stage presence. Would you like to be the commissioner for Stockholm wrestling? I'm like, yeah, man, sure. So the first night, it's at Slatshirk, and he says, rehearsals at 5, show starts at 8. I show up there, and they threw me right into the mud, man. The fucking, one of the big, Ken Malmsteen, he's one of the big wrestlers. He's like, all right, Ken's going to throw a kick to your head, all right? So you come into the ring, we'll practice, you know, and then he tells me, you might want to take your glasses off because sometimes I miss. And I'm like, fuck, I didn't sign up for this.
So miss meaning hit.
Yeah. So, but it worked out well, and it looked pretty realistic, and the crowd loved it. And, yeah, it's just like WWE, man. They got good guys, bad guys, and it's a good time, man. But I just wish we could get more asses in the seats. I just don't, you know, I don't know what the secret is down in Gothenburg.
How often do you do it?
Once a month.
Once a month?
Yeah, they've got a show once a month, Saturdays. Mm. And, you know, he promotes. He posters all over town and marketing and Google ads and la, 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 la. But I don't know, man. There's just not a big wrestling fan base in Stockholm.
I think the thing is that Stockholm is difficult. I know the same thing with MMA shows. They can also have difficulties of getting people. But when they leave for another city, they most all of the time they sell out. That's the crazy
maybe
thing.
Maybe we should take Stockholm wrestling to fucking Boden.
Yeah, probably. Probably Stockholm wrestling in Boden.
Yeah. Get plenty of people up there. We love us wrestling up here in Boden. Boden is the equivalent of Alabama
here
in Sweden.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
how long is the show?
It's usually about 2 hours.
Yeah.
And they've got several breaks. You know, there's a bar within 2 meters, you know, so people are getting liquored up and good music is cranking before and after the show. And a lot of times they'll let people that bought the ticket stay after and party. So yeah, man, it's a good time. You should come out sometime.
Yeah, definitely. No, I want to watch it.
And you know, it's such a misnomer that, cause everybody, Weaver, you're doing the wrestling. You know, that's fake, right? I'm like, yeah, it's fake. It's fake, bro. But these guys are true athletes, man. I mean, they are, and some of them are just ripped and, you know, zero body fat. And they're the women that are in this, they're fucking just as nuts and in great shape. And I mean, this cat, Timmy Force, he's getting up on the ropes and doing, you know, triple gainers and landing on top of people. I mean, yeah, that's fake. Mm. He's compound fractured his right arm twice because it's fake. And he's done now. He's like, I'm only 25 and I've banged up my body so bad that I can't do this shit anymore. And he had a huge following. He was he wrestled all over the world. Hmm.
That's the thing. I got, when I did the commentary for when CM Punk did his UFC debut, then I actually said that wrestling is fake. And I mean, when I say it's fake, it's the fighting that is fake, which it is. But I don't say that everything is fake within it.
Right.
And then a guy got kind of pissed, so he wrote to me. I don't know if it was on Twitter or Instagram. I was like, hey, man, I'm kind of tired of people saying that wrestling's fake. I mean, I didn't answer because what am I supposed to say? Yeah. I mean, if I say that he comes from wrestling, which is fake fighting, now he's doing the UFC. I mean, that's the truth.
Yeah, it is.
It is stage fighting. Yeah. It doesn't mean that they don't do dangerous shit, because they do some crazy stuff. When they do pile drivers, if that shit goes wrong, you're fucking breaking your neck.
One inch off and you're done.
Yeah. So, I mean, fake is the fighting. It's stage, but the crazy shit they do,
I dig it, hands down.
It's cool. And, it's fun.
You know, I can't believe WWE is still going.
And it's huge.
It's huge, 80,000 people, 90,000 people at a show. Yeah, that's a money-making thing.
Have you gone to WWE when you were a kid?
I did. Well, I wasn't a kid. I was a teenager when it started. In Phoenix, Arizona, we went and saw, Brother Randy, the Macho Man Savage. the Intercontinental Show. Guy was high on cocaine. It was a trip. Jake the Snake and what was the other douchebag's name? Hulk Hogan. Yeah. He was there. We saw all that stuff. And that was when they were brand new. I mean, it was like nobody heard of this shit before. What was the big Andre the Giant?
Yeah.
That guy, too. And, poor bastard. These guys are all banged up, too, man.
Andre the Giant is dead, right?
Yeah. Hold on now. My little daughter's calling. Let's
answer. Okay.
Hi.
Hello.
Can I go home to Mariana?
I thought you were going to the other girl's house.
No.
What's her name?
Mariana.
No, the other girl.
Which other girl?
The little one that rides the horses.
Oh, Enos.
What?
Enos.
Penis? Who names their kid Penis?
No.
What is it?
Enos.
All right. You're not going to play with Enos. Not until you're at least 18 or 19.
No, but she can today.
Oh, okay. Good. Go play with Mariana.
Okay. Can I go home to her?
Yeah, you can go home to Mariana.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
First time she calls me and says, "Hey, Daddy, can I play with Enos?" And I thought she said penis.
Yeah.
I'm like, "What? No, you can't play with penis. What the fuck are you talking about?" Oh, comedy gold, kids. Can't live with them, can't kill them.
How old are they?
She's 10 and her sister's 13. They were both born on the same day, 3 years apart.
Oh, really?
Yeah. IVF babies. That's why we moved here. We tried making babies in the U.S., didn't happen. We went and got checked out. And they said, "Yeah, man, you need IVF help." Hmm. Well, in the U.S., I was a school teacher. It wasn't covered on my insurance. It was like $80,000 U.S. And min Swedish fru säger, "Detta gratis i Sverige." I'm like, "Let's go. I'm no spring chicken. Let's move there." And so we got put in the queue. And at Sadra Huset, they said it could take a month. It could take 6 months. It could take a year. But you're in the queue. And that was on a Friday. Monday, the nurse calls the, Barn Mushka and says, "Hey, can you guys come down here this Wednesday? We're going to go ahead and do it." And my wife is like, "Varför?" I'm like, "Don't ask why. Just like say, yeah, we'll be there." So I don't know why they put us right to the front of the queue, went in. I had to go through this like barbaric nut torture. I thought I would just go like jerk off in a cup, but now they put my nutsack in some weird contraption, knocked me out and extracted the boys from that. And then put it up inside her and then took the eggs out and put them in the fucking oven for, 9 months.
Yeah.
What now?
Can I go home to her for like real?
Yeah. You can go home to her for like real. Whoa, you think I was...
And when I'm going home.
Am I supposed to pick you up?
Yes.
All right, well, you call me when you want to come home.
Okay.
Don't play with Enos.
No, I'm not.
Oh, good.
Bye.
She's going to get post-traumatic stress from this.
So, long story short, we ended up having two babies, and then... we donated all the other eggs, all the good eggs. Yeah. Because it was a shame watching the wife, you know, every month getting her period and like, oh, we're still not pregnant. We're still not pregnant. And it was nothing wrong with me. I had plenty of swimmers. She had something with her fallopian tube, which was pinched. So the boys couldn't get in to make a home run. So who knew? Came over here to Sweden for free. You got to love that.
Yeah.
I mean, we wouldn't have had children if we stayed in the U.S. There's no way I could have paid, you know, upwards of $80,000 just to go through this procedure, which is a shame that people in the U.S., you know, are being denied procreating.
I know. How do you view the, now that you live in Sweden and you see what people talk about the healthcare debate in the States contra, this is actually kind of stuff that we talked about in Straight Out of Sweden podcast.
Yeah. And my attitude is the same as it was back in 2012. I think it's friggin' fantastic. I don't mind paying high taxes. We're covered. Yeah. I mean, the standard of living here for a young family or even an old family, it's fantastic. It's bar none. I mean, she got diagnosed 3-4 years ago, the youngest one, with arthritis. And so they prescribed Humira. And in the States, Humira, it's like over $1,000 for a month's worth of treatment. Yeah, like upwards of $1,500. We get it for free. No questions asked. You go down to Apoteket, show your ID, and I'm like, here you go. Here's a box of Humira, $1,500 worth. And then she gets another box of shots, which is it's a drag because every Friday we got to hit her with a fucking needle. And the first few years, a couple of years, she would just flip out every time. But now she's a pro. She takes her shots. No questions asked. She just, you know, bears and grins and bears it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, again, unless you've got really good insurance, a great job, which half of America doesn't, they're being denied health care. I think it's sad. You do have to stand in the queue here for, you know, oh, he's got a broken nose. Oh, sit down. Somebody will be with you in 7 hours. But you know, it's not going to cost you anything. I think it's fantastic.
What do people back home say when you tell them about this arthritis thing and the medications you get for free?
Yeah, I mean, they're blown away. They're like, what? Are you serious? You know, but then they think it's like we live in this, you know, communist. They, you know, they just don't grasp it. They don't understand how it works. And a lot of them are like, oh, it sounds like Barry Sanders is running your country over there. I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, he does have that sort of socialist society, you know, pattern that I think he would like to bring to the U.S. But I don't know if it would work. You know, everything's so privatized and, you know, the big pharma, they're making billions and billions. And, you know, just to give it away, not going to happen. Higher taxes, poor Americans, you know, 50% of them aren't making shit anyway. So you're going to give them higher taxes on nothing? They're not making any money.
Yeah.
So I just don't think it would work in the U.S.
What do you think about the Trump thing? The impeachment and
yeah,
all that.
I don't know. It was a good call with the Ukraine. I don't know, man.
Perfect call.
Yeah, perfect call. It was the best call. I make the best calls. The guy, every time he opens his mouth, you just cringe. You're like, what next?
I actually love watching CNN and then Fox.
Yeah.
To see the different spins. It's like two different universes.
Yeah. I know. And you know, CNN is just so anti-Trump and Fox loves him to death. Yeah. So it's a comedy to see the same story. And you're right. You watch one and you're like, wow, fuck God, he's an asshole. And then you watch Fox and you're like, oh, he's not that bad. He's doing so good. Yeah. Look at all the jobs and, I don't know. He's not the president we want, but he's the president the United States deserves.
Yeah, more or less. More or less. Do you think he'll get impeached in the end, or?
I don't.
No?
I don't. No. I mean, I just don't see it happening. He's got too many hands in too many pockets. I don't think people will be able to pull the trigger. And the Democrats, I don't.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think they have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out to have any kind of impact to go, oh, yeah, this is it, man. He's done. Pull him out. Fire. You watch. He's going to get voted in again. He's going to do a second term. I really think so.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Yeah. And it's just brought out all the fucking weird people in the U.S., man.
Yeah.
That, you know, probably never voted in their life, but now they got... You know, they're like the poster people for Trump. He says what the common man wants to say and wants to hear. Well, fuck, if that's the common attitude, and I know it's pretty scary, man.
But it's kind of happening all over the world also. That's the thing. Yeah. It's like people want to hear someone say something that they think no one's is allowed to say.
Right.
And then, oh, great, he said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't like Muslims. Yeah, he want a Muslim ban. Good.
Yeah, see?
That's what we need. It's like, okay.
Is it what we need?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of scary.
Yeah. But have you been, when were you the last time in the States?
March.
It was March.
Yeah.
Where?
In Arizona.
How's Arizona for Trump?
They're pretty pro-Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But then there's a huge Hispanic population being so close to the Mexican border that... You can guarantee that every Hispanic in Arizona fucking hates Trump.
But you have Latinos for Trump also.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is strange.
Yeah.
It's like every Mexican is going out. Yeah, but we're not that kind of Mexicans.
Yeah.
But you are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You are.
You are.
Wake up. I think it's maybe, it has a lot to do with your level of economics.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in the hierarchy and you're making good money and you're a business owner and whatnot and you're Latino, then you're all about Trump. Mm. But if you're a field worker or a fucking taxi driver or whatever, you can't stand the guy. Yeah, it's, I think Arizona's pro-Trump for the most part. But, you know, it's weird. Nothing that Trump had done or is doing, any president. I mean, it's like when Obama was president. I mean, it's like... He didn't come to my kitchen table and make a sandwich for me. And, you know, I did that. I went and worked and I made money and I fucking provided for my family. And it's the same with Trump. It's like people are like, America's turned upside down. I'm like, I was going back home, man. It was like nothing ever happened. Could have been Clinton that was still president. I didn't notice any real dramatic change. Maybe a little with, getting looks from other races, you know, they it's almost like they're prejudging you now. Whereas before it was just like, hey, bro, hey, what's up? You know, just another guy. But now they're kind of looking at you like, you know.
Maybe they see the Swedish communist in you.
Could be. Could be.
A socialist bastard walking here.
Get that little fucking commie bastard out of here. Go back to Switzerland.
But that's so fun when they talk about Sweden because you can see that they know nothing about Sweden. Pick Texas out of their ass.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but we get healthcare and you don't. So
right.
your relatives die. Yeah, but we pay less tax. Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Good for you.
Good.
Do you got a life insurance policy or anything?
No.
No, man.
It's too expensive.
Yeah.
it's a weird thing, but it's strange. I follow the Trump news more or less every day, actually.
Yeah, I do too.
I follow it. And it would be fun to get him impeached because I want to see him talk there.
I know.
That's comedy gold.
That would be.
He wouldn't be able to restrain himself.
No.
So what? So what? I did it. It's pro quo. Who cares? So what?
It was your best damn call ever. Yeah,
you would have done the same.
Yeah.
Obama would have done the same. Look at Hillary's emails.
Yeah, dude. He keeps throwing that out, too. Why isn't she in prison? Look at her emails. Blah, blah, blah. But you're right. If he did get through, you know, and they took it to a trial, the guy would be a comedy gold.
Yeah.
I mean, Saturday Night Live had, I don't know, man. I don't think I've ever seen a president get so fucking bashed. No, ever.
Me neither.
But I'm still like, is Trump really the president? I mean, it's just so bizarre.
What did you think when he actually got elected?
I was like, are you kidding me? Is this like, this isn't real? Yeah, I mean, grab him by the pussy. What the hell? Are you serious?
Yeah.
You know, it blows me away. I don't know how. But then again, a lot of people say, you know, it's he didn't win. You know, he was put there. Mm. You know, it's all part of this, you know, political plot, and people knew before the voting even went that Trump was going to be president. You know, if I was living in the U.S., I probably would have voted for Hillary. Hmm. I think she would have done a decent job. I think a woman president would have shook up the world in a positive way than having Donald. Because, I mean, the rest of the world looks at him like he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, we are an embarrassment.
Did you see? Did you see when he was at the UN, and he was saying something that the U.S. has never it's never gone as good as it is now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was quiet, and then people started laughing. Did you see that one? You know, I was thinking about when he does his. What are they called when he goes to a city and he's just talking?
Just doing a press conference.
Yeah, but in front of his voters. So they always laugh and applaud him. And I was like, he's like this rookie comedian at Big Ben, getting laughs for jokes that are not fun.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, he gets to a real club and does his act. It's like, nobody applauds. And then somebody starts laughing. He's like, yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
No, you were not. Because you've been sold the lie. You talk in front of people that just applaud you because.
Just to.
And you have nothing to come with. And as soon as you talk in front of these real elected leaders, they will not applaud you.
No.
They won't. They will listen to you and they will not applaud you. He's like this comedian at Big Ben who all of a sudden does a real gig and is like, holy shit, I'm actually not a comedian. Fuck.
What am I doing? What am I doing?
Am I going to bomb for 15 minutes more? Or should I just leave?
But see, he's the type of guy that doesn't even recognize that. Even though he's bombing, he still thinks that he's killing it.
Yeah, yeah.
He really does. The guy can do no wrong in his own world. And it's such a bizarre world that he's in. He has done some good stuff. Mm. I'll give him that. But it's just scary every time he opens his mouth. You don't know what's going to come out. And I've seen like the lie counter. Oh, today he said, you know, 142 lies or, you know, mistruths and inaccurate and thinking that the stealth bomber was actually invisible.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, guy. He's just so bizarre. And, you know, his wife, Ivanka. Mm. She doesn't get any, you never hear anything about her.
Nothing.
Michelle Obama was everywhere. Mm. Nancy Reagan, Hillary, when Bell was president, you hear nothing about her. Are you adding anything to the world? No media covers it. I have no idea what this woman's up to.
Because in the States, the first lady is a kind of a big thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And typically they're really involved with communities and charity and, you know, foundations and, you know, I hear nothing about Ivanka.
No.
So I don't know what the lady's up to. It's just bizarre. Fucking politics, man.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
How much of the Swedish politics do you follow?
None. Fuck
me neither.
I don't give a shit.
I think the thing is that I've never been so involved in or watched so much politics since Trump got elected.
Yeah.
Because it's just crazy things every day.
It's
every
a freak
day.
Show.
It's just, holy shit. Did he really say this?
Yeah, yeah.
Is he doing this?
And it's not even politics now.
No.
You know, he's taking it to a whole new level. I don't get into the Swedish politics, really. I mean, my wife and her family, they're really passionate about it, and they've all have their all different attitudes. And
comedy's better.
Comedy's better.
Comedy's much better. When was your last gig?
Last Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, was that the one you told me about?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Where was that?
That was at the First Choice Hotel in Sigtuna.
Oh, shit. That sounds like a good place to do comedy.
Yeah. It actually turned out pretty well. It was a school adjacent to the building where young guys learn how to be bus drivers and taxi drivers. And they stay at the hotel the whole time they're there during the 3-4 month course. And they've got nothing to do out in Sigtuna. Hmm. So just adjacent to the hotel bar, they had a conference room. It felt like a real corporate gig, you know. Okay, it was like a conference room. You couldn't dim the lighting. It was a little odd. But I brought my A game and tore it up. These guys had a really good time. They were all liquored up and they had a really good time. I got a bunch of slaps on the back afterwards. And, oh, you were really funny. But this Saturday, Friday and Saturday, I'll MC stand-up star comedy.
Yep.
Toby Strom, our boy.
Yeah.
He's headlining. He's really blown up, man.
I know. It's going good.
And it was so funny because when we first started doing this together at Mafia, he was like a nervous wreck. It was like, oh, you know, questioning his comedy and if he was even good enough. And now, dude's blowing up. I mean, he's a paid comedian, man. And he's got a solid act, and he's such a lovable person as well. I love Toby. He's a cool cat. And it was just funny to watch the progression, you know, from being a beginner and doing his, you know, I think we saw him do his first, got him into it.
Yeah, yeah, I got him into Mafia. I did. I actually met him when I did a gig in Örebro. And that was his first year. It was even like his first gigs. And we kind of laugh about the jokes because he had something about roller coaster, Bergedalbanan in Gröna Lund, and it was just so bad. it was so bad. But we kind of clicked. So we did podcasts. I did podcasts with him, Nissa Hallberg, and Victor Linnér for a long time, and we actually continued doing the PT-podden, Paul and Tobbe podden. So I've done maybe about 100 episodes of podcasts with Tobbe.
Yeah, I saw. When was the last episode you guys had done?
Yeah, we did for this podcast up at Sinne. He was in, I don't remember. I think this episode is going to be like episode 94. Maybe he was somewhere between 10 and 30.
Yeah.
I think he was. So it was it was last year when he was on.
Yeah, I remember another joke he did about his name, Tobias. Yeah. Tobias.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, dude. Stop with that. Stop it.
To my ass.
But he's an Örebro kid originally, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
And I guess he just did a gig at Örebro Comedy. And I had done that show years ago. Beautiful theater. Huge. Yeah. Upper balcony. And there you go. Örebro. Nothing to do in that town. Stand-up comedy killed. It was like everybody and their brother came out to the show. It was fantastic. Huge night. Kojo was the headliner, and Ivy Walk was support, and myself. That was a great night. Really, really fun.
But I think Tobbos, he's had this good patience with his comedy, which I didn't. I was kind of delusional, and I thought that everything would move so much faster.
Right.
So I was in a rush, and I did comedy for like the wrong purpose. I enjoyed it very much, and I had fun, and I knew I was funny, but I was like, yeah, if I do comedy, maybe within 3 years I could live off of it. And it was no, it was, I went in with the wrong intention. And I think Tobbe, he was more like, it's fun, shit will happen when it happens. I enjoy this. And I think that's the best way. He never rushed it, and he progress slowly, and then in the end it's just everything clicked, and he's been doing it for a long time. It's got to be up on 10 years. I quit after 5.5. I was like, I'm done. I mean, and that's what I meant with making money on stand-up, because when I headlined, you didn't get paid.
No,
you didn't get paid at any club, because every club was free clubs. Now clubs, they charge at the door, and then comedians can get paid. So it's kind of changing, and that's why I think a lot of people make money more people make at least some money. But I think before when I did, it was like, holy shit, just corporate gigs.
Yeah.
You made money off the club if you actually knew the owner good.
Yeah. It was like, hey, dude, here's 500.
Yeah, take some money because you're doing a lot of gigs and I like you.
Yeah.
But if not, no. People didn't get paid. You didn't get
paid.
Nada. Nowhere. Yeah. So it's changing and that's good. I think it's good that people actually can make some money off of their
club. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dude, nice BMW. Jokes bought that BMW.
Yeah.
Of course, my level of pay I get, I'm, you know, no BMW, it's a Volvo.
Yeah, it's good.
But that's all right.
Takes you forward.
Yeah.
My pay, no car.
No car.
I have no driver's license, so.
Really?
No, I don't, actually.
Seriously? No. Never had one?
No, never. I don't know. I think it's the thing, kind of a Stockholm syndrome, not in a terrorist falling in love with, or the hostage falling in love with the terrorist syndrome, but more that you have good communications. I have the subway, bus. And I've never had interest for cars. When I was a kid, I didn't play with cars. It wasn't my thing.
You were
in Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
G.I. Joe.
Yeah, there you
fighting.
Go.
Fighting. Yeah. I kind of like that. So no, I never had the interest for
it. Have you
for
ever driving. Driven a vehicle?
I have. That's the weird thing. I do drive a Zamboni. I do drive a truck. I do drive an electric car, but I don't drive a car. I just never, my mom tried it like, hey, don't you want to learn how to drive? I was like, nah. No.
Really?
Yeah, it's strange.
Get out.
So maybe I should. I'm turning fucking... I'm getting older.
You don't want to say how old you're going to be.
Actually, I'm going to be 42 this summer.
Damn, bro.
Yeah. Born in 78, so I'm turning 42. Maybe I should get my license, be the oldest Swede to get a driver's license.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you know, if you're not into cars, you're not missing anything. And you're right. The public transportation in Stockholm is fantastic, so you really don't need a car. I mean, it's like any big city. New York, I think, you know, 25% of New Yorkers own a vehicle.
Yeah.
And the rest of them will go their whole life without ever driving a car or needing one.
Yeah.
You know, I have to drive with my job and I'm in and out of Stockholm. Finding parking in this fucking city is miserable. Like I showed up today 45 minutes early because I didn't know if there'd be parking or if I'd have to walk 9 blocks to get up here. Luckily, there was a spot, you know, it's like you won the fucking lottery. I'm like, yes, oh my God, there's a spot. Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. Actually, when I threw out a tweet that I don't have a driver's license. So Greta texted me like, bra.
Okay. Yeah, no, I got my license when I was 16 years old, which I think here in Sweden, being 18, that two years of maturity is a lifetime. And there's too many dipshit, fucking idiot 16-year-old kids in the U.S. that get a car and get their license. And, yeah, I just, 16 is too young, man.
Yeah.
It really is. 18 is even pushing it. I mean.
You got a lot of drunk driving also in the state. Because I was amazed when I was in Seattle. Me and my friend were going up to get the car in a parking lot. And this girl, she couldn't even walk.
And got in her car.
Got in her car. I was like, holy fuck. Yeah. And I asked my friend. He was like, dude, it's actually normal. It's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Fuck me, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, scary.
Listen, I did a stand-up show in Tucson, Laughs Comedy. Really proper place. And my brother shows up. And so the Swedes are there with me visiting. We all went to visit. And I remember my wife's little sister said, your brother got so drunk at the show. And then what really freaked me out was he walked out to the parking lot and got in his car to drive home. He could barely walk and he was slurring his speech. He's like, Don, you really going to drive home? Yeah, I do it all the time. And that's the attitude. They're like, you know, fuck it. But, you know, there's situations where now, maybe the last 5-6 years, that the bartender is being personally sued. Because, he served, you knew this guy was drunk and you didn't try to, you know, A, stop him from drinking, A, stop him from driving, or take his keys from him or whatever. So, yeah, you know, and that's the thing in the U.S. There's some, you could sue about anything, which I find is weird here in Sweden. You know, there is no ambulance chaser, defense lawyers, and
no.
Nobody sues here. There's like, oh, you broke his face. Oh, Fifan, shit, bumfit, ingen fara.
That was my reaction when I was in Vegas. Every billboard, like, Have
you been in an accident? Have
lawyer
you got a
up.
DUI?
Yeah.
Lawyer up.
$125. We got you covered. Yeah, here it's just like, you know, there's people in the U.S. that put up these scams where they'll like go into the Walmart parking lot and slip and fall in grease that they put there the night before. Yeah. And then, yeah, I'm suing. I broke the back of my head and, but, you know, or they'll pour a Coke on the outside of a trash can and then slip and fall and, hey, here's $1 million. I think it all started with the lady that spilled the hot coffee in the McDonald's drive-thru. And she ended up getting, like $3 million.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. And that's why they have hot content on the lid. It's after that one.
Now you can't sue us. We got you there. It says hot, really hot. If you spill it, you're fucked. Yeah, and now you have to label everything.
Yeah.
You know? Do not put the baby in the washer machine. Well, why does it even say that?
I thought I'd dry him off, man.
No, not in this country.
What do you think when you go back? How does it feel to be in the States? I mean, the differences
Sweden it's, and here. I've lived here now in Sweden for 15 years. So when I do go back, it's always great to go back and see family. And the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, it's kind of a catch-22. I go back and for the first few days I feel like I'm like an alien, like I don't belong there, and it doesn't feel right. But then after the jet lag goes away, and you know, you're like, fuck, man, it's the same old shit. You know, maybe a new restaurant's gone up over here, or, you know, new traffic light or whatever. But yeah, after a few days you just settle in and you're like, yeah, it's like no time has ever lapsed. You're back at home. And that's always a bummer to say those goodbyes, you know, because you never know when you're going to see family and friends again. My parents are getting up there. My dad's 86. My mom's 82. And he still plays tennis a couple days a week, still plays golf. He doesn't hit them far or long, but that little fucker's accurate, man. So I'm going to go back for Christmas. We're taking the whole family. My mother's like, you got to spend a Christmas with us, which in Arizona, it's weird because it doesn't feel like Christmas.
No, it's
like
hot,
Swedish summer. Beautiful weather, 22, 23 degrees. Gets a little chilly in the morning, but there's no snow. And, you know, people got Christmas trees and shit out in the front yard and lights. And you're just like, this doesn't feel right. You know, I grew up in Jersey. And so all my Christmases were white. And, of course, you know, typically they're white here in Stockholm. And a lot of times we'll go up to where Nina's from in Boden. It's definitely white up there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, freezing. So it'll be nice to go back home for Christmas, though, and see my grandbaby. I got a little granddaughter, so that'll be cool to hang with her.
How old is she?
She just turned 2.
Wow.
In August. Yeah, so she's just a little person. We got kind of a freaky call the other night. They were in the emergency room. She tipped out of her high chair and smashed her face.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so.
But it go good, or?
Yeah, she was fine. No broken teeth, just a fat lip and a little lump on her head. But, you know, that was the first. I'd actually sent a text of some snow, and I said, hey, look, we had our first snowfall of the season. And she wrote back, we're in the ER, we had our first bad fall. I'm like, what the fuck? So I call her, and she's like, oh, she fell out of her high chair, but it all worked out in the end. She's fine. It'll build character. Scars make you look cool.
But does she live in Arizona or Jersey?
Yeah,
Arizona. When did you leave Jersey?
I left Jersey my senior year in high school, which sucked because here it is, you know, the beginning of my senior year. I'm going to graduate with all my friends. No, dad retired early. We're going to move to a sunny fucking part of the country so you can play tennis and golf year round. And it ain't going to be Florida. So my grandmother had lived in Arizona and we had visited many times. So he said, Arizona, that's where we're going. Now, my brother, he was 8 years older than me. So he's like, fuck that. I'm staying in Jersey.
Yeah.
So me and my sister had to move to Arizona. And I don't know. It was all right. I had no idea what a Mexican was, what a taco was. None of that shit. Wait, what? I mean, I was a fucking Jersey boy. And cactus, and desert, and dirt. Everybody's front yard was dirt. There was no grass. And, you know, the summers are 42, 50 degrees, just relentless. Like you're in Dubai, or it was just fucking incredibly hot. We were there in 2016, and they actually closed the airport, Phoenix Sky Harbor. It was 52 degrees Celsius, and the planes couldn't land or take off because the tarmac was so hot, the rubber on the wheels was melting off the planes. So, like, all flights are canceled. Everybody sit still, stay inside where it's air conditioned. And it was true. As soon as the doors opened, we walked out into the parking lot. It was like Satan just sucked your fucking soul out of you. It was so, you could feel the heat just like penetrate your gray matter in your lungs. It's disgustingly hot. There was no enjoyment. It was the hottest summer in something like 75 years. So yeah, it'll be nice to go in the winter when it's like I said, it's like a Swedish summer. Yeah. So in those Arizonans, they're all going to be bundled up. They think it's cold. I'm going to be skipping around in flip flops and fucking board shorts.
Yeah,
man. Yeah.
But how was the Jersey life when you were young?
Well, you know, I was a kid and it was total Brady Bunch, you know, little league sports and public school and Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts and church. It was a fucking, I have no complaints from my childhood. It was just the best time of my life, man. It really was. And growing up in a little suburb neighborhood, my dad commuted into New York City. He was the head of marketing for McGraw-Hill Book Company. So we got to go into the city a lot and go to, like, you know, Madison Square Garden, see the Knicks. And we were always big New York Giant fans, so we'd go see the Giants play. I hated the Yankees, but I liked the Mets. So we'd go to Shea Stadium and watch the Met ball games. And Radio City Music Hall, we'd go see a bunch of cool plays and live performances. And the city's just, you know, New York is New York, man. It's fucking crazy. It's so high paced. But I remember back in the day, cause I was a child actor. So I would go on auditions for television commercials and shit. And a lot of times my big brother would take me out of school and we'd drive his little Fiat into the city, or we'd take the bus, show up at Port Authority. And Times Square, that area back in the mid 70s and 80s, it was drugs and prostitutes and X-rated porn shops and whatever. It was a nasty part of town. Like, if you wanted to go buy heroin and get a hooker, that's where you went. And now you go back and it's like mini Disneyland Vegas. It's like the tourist hotspot. Like, gotta go to Times Square. And it was Giuliani that actually cleaned all that
up. I know.
Yeah, he went and shut down all the porn and got the vagrants and the riffraff out of there. And now look at it. It's like neon fucking glory. Come on down to Times Square, man. Bizarre.
Do you follow baseball now? Because I actually got into baseball a lot. I watched the Yankees.
Yeah.
I follow it for two seasons now.
Yeah. No. NFL's my sport. I love the NFL. Yeah. When I was a kid, I think it was more appeasing to my dad because he was a big baseball fan. He played for Michigan State. We're too little to play football, the Weavers.
Yeah.
So he was right up there with baseball. But no, I love the NFL and I follow that religiously.
Yeah.
Do you follow NFL at all?
No, I don't. But since I started watching baseball, a lot of followers on Instagram is like, you got to watch the NFL.
Yeah, man. It's so much more exciting.
I like baseball, but I think I like the pace of baseball. It's just, it's easy. I like it.
I saw some quote that out of, I think it's like 90 minutes of a game, only 11 minutes of action in a baseball game. So only actually 11 minutes or shit actually happening.
Yeah.
But if you ever have the opportunity, you got to go to a live baseball game.
Yeah, I actually went to one. It was the minor leagues when I was in Canada.
Okay, so that still counts.
Yeah, I went to watch the Canadians who played some Seattle team. I don't remember the name. But the thing was, if I would have gone 2 weeks later, the Yankees would have played in Seattle.
Oh, geez.
And then we could have gone to Seattle to watch them play.
The Mariners and
the
Yankees.
Yeah,
dude, that would have been epic.
Yeah. So I was like, I got to go to New York and I need to go to the Yankee Stadium and watch a game.
Hey, because that is to me, watching a ball game on TV is just boring as fuck.
Yeah.
But if you're live there, the whole experience of smelling the hot dogs and the pretzel and having a cold beer and hearing these idiot fans, and it's just a freak show. It's fucking great. And it's so relaxing, especially if it's a, you know, beautiful, warm day. And they say it's America's pastime.
Pastime, yeah.
And it is. There's more baseball fans than any sport in the U.S. At one point, NASCAR was catching up to them, but it's, you know, basically down south. They don't have NASCAR all over the U.S.
No.
And I think NASCAR's boring as fuck.
Yeah, we emit NASCAR here. I think we do, or at least did. So I've watched some, but it's like just cars in a circle.
Around a circle, yeah.
Yeah.
Boring.
So, okay, fucking 200 laps and... Yeah, man, it's in the 198 now. Action. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you could watch the start and then go, you know, fuck off for a couple hours and come back and watch the last lap. Yeah, there you watch some NASCAR, man.
But I think baseball, though, it would be... maybe catch on to more people if it was shorter, if it wasn't 9 innings, maybe 7, maybe 6, then it'd be a normal game. But then again, you can have an inning be done in a minute because of 3 strikes.
Yeah. Or
it could go on for half an hour.
Yeah. And baseball is so enthralled in tradition.
Yeah.
They really, out of all the sports, it's like, you know, they'll tweak rules for the NHL. They'll tweak rules for the NFL, definitely. Maybe a little bit with the NBA. But, man, baseball, leave it right where it is.
Yeah.
They just don't fuck with it. And there's some diehard people. I got a good buddy, Scott, that I think he's a bit of an idiot savant when it comes to baseball statistics. Mm. Like, you'll mention any player, and he goes, oh, yeah, he played college at Alabama State. He had a batting average. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how do you fucking even know this, bro? Oh, yeah, that guy, he's actually originally from Australia. He was a cricket player. Then he came over to the United States in 1979. Wow, you're a walking sport encyclopedia. But now the fucker's in jail, prison, actually, for robbing a bank.
He had the wrong statistics on that
one. Yeah, he got that one wrong.
Calculated it wrong. All the police officers from here, oh, shit, he was sick that day. And instead came Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'm handcuffed and I'm sitting in prison. Yeah. So how much time we got?
We are actually on the hour, more or less.
Right on.
This is it. But when can people see you do some stand-up? And
yeah, well, like I said, I've got this Friday and Saturday. You know, we've got the holiday break coming up, so I'm going to be dipping out. I'm actually going to be in Knivsta. So all you folks out there in Knivsta, Knife Town, I'll be doing a gig in Knivsta on the 13th, Friday the 13th. Ooh. If you happen to be in Arizona, I'm going to headline Laughs Comedy on the 26th and then 2 guest spots for 4 shows, the Friday and Saturday shows. I'm sure none of your listeners will be in Arizona.
Maybe they will. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe your family will share the episode.
There you go.
And then it's the biggest podcast in Arizona.
Yeah, and you know, I'm at Mafia, the Laugh House, stand-up star, Big Ben occasionally.
Yep.
There's a couple other new clubs that are popping up here and there. Seems like more and more little clubs are popping
for
up.
Sure.
It's weird.
Yep.
It's like, and most of them are in Sauter. Like, you can do, a couple weekends ago, I did 3 gigs at 3 different shows in one night on a Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did stand-up star. Was up second, then I ran over to Mafia. I was up second to last in the first half, and then I ran over to the Laugh House, and I was up third in the first half. I'm getting too old for that shit. I can do two shows a night, but 3, that was pushing it.
So that is becoming Little New York.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On the stand-up scene.
Absolutely.
And this was unheard of when I did comedy.
Yeah.
No way you could do 2 gigs in one night.
No, no.
It's like, I'm doing 2 gigs in a week. Yeah.
Right.
I was like, oh, fucking, can do 3 gigs on a Saturday.
Yeah. Easy.
But yeah. Yeah. And when is the wrestling kicking off again?
The next show, I think, is December 20th.
But then you're not there, right?
And I'm not there, yeah.
Okay. Who's doing it? Who's doing your gig then?
They probably just won't have anybody. I usually introduce the evening, come out and open up all the shows, and then they've got a little bit of script that I do in between the matches. Hmm. So I don't know. They'll probably just have Chaz or one of these other cats fill in for me. Yeah.
But you're back in January then?
Back in January, yeah. We do it every, it's usually the last Saturday of every month.
Let's see if I can come to one then.
Yeah.
I always do the commentary. That's the thing. It's on the weekends.
Yeah.
But if I got a Saturday off.
Yeah, I'll give you a heads up for the next show.
Great.
Give you some beer tokens.
I don't drink beer. I can take water.
I don't either.
David.
Right on, Paul. Thanks, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's been a walk down memory lane today with you.
Yeah, for sure.
It's fun because the last episode was a heavier one, so it's nice to just get some laughs and have a chill time in the podcast too.
Good, man.
So thank you very much for coming.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
You know.
So, goodbye, people.